Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
God has a heart to do good in this church and in the life of every single person sitting in this room. God wants to show you His goodness. God wants to work in your life in a powerful way. And one of the ways that you and I can experience the power of God's working, not just in an ordinary way, but in an extraordinary way, is through the discipline of fasting. We've been talking about the Daniel fast and have announced that I've talked about it on Wednesday night. But really, as I was getting ready for this week and for the preaching through the fall, it just really occurred to me that there are many people here, and you've heard us talk about the Daniel fast, but you're not sure what it's about. In fact, there are many people who've maybe never even thought about fasting at all. And so what I want to do today is, because so many are involved in the fast and you're hearing about it, in fact, we've got restaurants in the area who have said, listen, we'll prepare a Daniel fast menu for the people. All you have to do, here's a list of the restaurants. I mean, this is kind of like crazy. Qdoba and Meru and Price Cutter and Prima's and the Aviary. If you go in and you say, I'd like your Daniel fast menu, they will hand it to you. And there's some wonderful selections, so it makes it that much easier for you. So there are a lot of people who've heard about it. Not everybody's jumped in, but we've still got 2 weeks here where we're going to be fasting from now through Sunday the 21st, asking God to do amazing things, extraordinary things in the life of the church, and believing that as He works in the church and we're praying for certain things, that He's also going to work in our lives as we seek Him for the things that we need from Him. You see, fasting does something to break strongholds. It liberates people, and it moves people into a realm where God's supernatural power works in extraordinary ways. In Mark chapter 9, we have the story of a father who brought his son to the disciples. The boy was demonized, and the disciples could not cast out the demon. When Jesus came, Jesus cast the demon out. And afterwards, the disciples said to him, they said, Lord, why couldn't we do it? And this was his response. In verse 29, Jesus said, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting. Fasting, when coupled with prayer, releases the power of God into our life in a way nothing else or few other things can. Now, when we're talking about a fast, what we're talking about is we're talking about abstaining from something for the purpose, going without for the purpose of seeking God. Typically, that is understood as food, though you can fast other things. You can fast television, you can fast other activities that you might enjoy, but typically we think in terms of abstaining from food. There are three types of fasts. There's an absolute fast where you have no food, no water, and you have an example of that in the book of Esther. They did that kind of fast for 3 days, and that would be the limit of what you could do that for. A normal fast would be saying, I'm not going to eat any kind of food. I'll drink water, maybe drink fruit juice, depending on the length of your fast, but I'm going to go without food, and I'm going to use my meal times to seek God, to call on God. So when we're talking about fasting, we're talking about spending extra time in the presence of the Lord. Now, a Daniel fast is not doing without food. And so I'm hoping that many people who will try the Daniel fast will invariably move or will eventually move on to a lifestyle of periodically not eating a meal, maybe for one meal, maybe for a day, maybe for more than one day. And during that time, you're going to call on God, you're going to pray, you're going to ask God to help you for whatever it is that you need His help. What we're talking about here is a Daniel fast. And the Daniel fast is a fast where you avoid things that make honestly food enjoyable. I mean, come on, how many are with me on that? It's like, you know, after about a week, you're like, I can't wait till this is over. But you also know that God is working in a powerful way. It's based on Daniel chapter 10 and verse 3, where it says, I ate no pleasant food. Pleasant food. Frozen custard. That's pleasant. I told Debbie one afternoon, I said, you know what tastes really good right now? A nice big concrete with, you know, some Girl Scout cookies, mint, chopped up in there, blended up really. Just teasing you. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till the 3 full weeks were fulfilled. So a Daniel fast is no caffeine, no dairy products, no eggs, no bread with yeast in it, and only water or natural fruit juice for a drink. And what Daniel did is he fasted for 3 weeks. That's why we go on a Daniel fast. It's typically understood to be 3 weeks. You say, well, I missed the first week. Jump in. Do it for the next 2 weeks. Watch what God will do. You know God will honor your faith. He'll honor your faithfulness as well. But what we're doing is we're doing this fast, believing that God's going to do something exceptional. Now, fasting is not commanded in the New Testament. And the reason why is because you can command people or you can take away people's food, but that doesn't mean they'll pray. If you take away your food, but you don't pray, you're just on a diet. But Jesus in the New Testament, though he never commanded us to fast, he did indicate that fasting would be a part of his followers' life. For example, Matthew chapter 6, we read this, and when you fast. And then in verse 17, he says, but when you fast. And then he says in verse 9, or verse 15 of chapter 9, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away for them, and then they will fast. In other words, Jesus understands that his followers will fast and will abstain from food for the purpose of seeking him, will follow his example, because remember, he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. And by fasting, we'll see God do some things that would not happen otherwise in their life. You see, the fact of the matter is we can literally eat our way out of God's will. That we can give in to what Matthew Henry, the commentator, called King's stomach and find ourselves more driven by our stomach and by our physical body and its appetites than we are by the Spirit of God working in us to move us forward into God's plan and God's purpose for our life. To that end, fasting helps us. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 12. Here's an example of somebody who ate themselves out of God's will. Watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You see, we can say, well, you know what? I just need to eat, and I just want to eat. And we can find ourselves saying, you know, I don't want to do that. And nobody can make you do it. The purpose of this is not to make anybody do anything. The purpose, however, is to say, listen, when you and I fast, powerful things happen. Things that would not happen normally suddenly become a reality. And it's all through fasting, as you and I fast and seek God. One of the things that fasting does, and just to help you understand a part of the spiritual component of it, is it helps us to keep our body and our sinful nature in check, to keep it disciplined, to keep it in training. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says this, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Listen, you know what? Just like an Olympic athlete has to discipline their body, you and I have to discipline our body. If we're going to see God do amazing things in our life, we've got to be willing to say no to our body at times. Paul says this, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. He says, I'm keeping myself in check because he understands how the sinful human nature works. Now, let me just put it to you this way. Our body makes a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. If your body is what drives you, and your appetites are what drive you, and you can't say no to your body, you're going to find yourself in trouble. In fact, I would suggest to you that developing discipline in one area of our life has a tendency of facilitating discipline in other areas of our life. But here's the way it works. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, the sinful nature. Now, what's the sinful nature? The sinful nature is it's comprised of two things. When you're saved, God saves your spirit, that eternal part of you is saved. Then there is the soul. What is the soul? The way to understand the soul is your emotion, your intellect, and your will. So your feelings, what you purpose to do, intellectually, what you will to do. That's your soul. That's part of your nature that is yet unredeemed. That's why Paul says you got to renew your mind, Romans chapter 12. The goal of the Christian is to renew our mind, to allow the Spirit of God to direct our mind. So you have your soul, and then you have your body. You have your biological, fleshly appetites. Hunger, the desire that you have for food. It could be sexual, sensual. It could be other things. That has to be controlled. Here's what Paul says. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. You see, what happens when you and I are fasting is fasting deals with two of the barriers to seeing God work in our life. Those two barriers are simply this: our stubborn self-will and our self-gratifying appetites. So fasting immediately, because what are you going to will? You're going to say, you know what? I want coffee, and I'm going to get my coffee. I want this kind of food. I'm going to get this kind of food. And anybody who goes on a fast is immediately going to be aware of the battle that is there. That the Spirit of God calling you to seek God, to walk closer to God, to draw close for the purpose of seeing God work powerfully in your life, that is going to be confronted by the enemy. It's going to be confronted by feelings. It's going to be confronted by physical fatigue. It's going to be confronted by desires. It's going to be confronted by your will, what you're going to will. Are you going to subject your will to the Spirit of God? Are you just going to let your feelings be your guide? Are you just going to do what you want to do, not what God wants you to do? There is a battle, and that's what Paul's talking about in Galatians chapter 5. And that battle is won when you and I submit ourselves to God, and fasting is one of the ways that we're able to do that, and we're able to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life in a way that maybe He hasn't been able to before. Now, when you do that, what happens is there are several powerful things that will happen in your life. So if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, I want to give you five things, and there are other things we could name that happen as a result of fasting, but for the sake of time, I'm going to give you five things that will happen when you and I fast. First of all, fasting helps secure favor in situations. You know, there's something today, and you need favor at work. You need favor. Maybe you're getting ready to start a business, and you need favor. You need favor with the bank. You need favor with the owner of the place you're going to rent. You need favor. I mean, there are all of us find times in our life where you and I need favor. Do you realize you and I can fast, and we can have a favor that goes beyond the favor we can generate with our own words, our own personality, our own ability? But there's a divine favor where God can cause people to look with you on favor where they wouldn't have otherwise? That fasting can bring that about? You see an example of that in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah is in a very important position. He's a chief advisor to the king of the most powerful empire in the world of his time, the king of Persia. And Nehemiah has his brother come to him, and he tells him, listen, the city of Jerusalem, it's in disrepair. The walls have been broken down. Years before, almost 50 years before, the Jewish people had been allowed to go back and begin to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And yet what's happened is, as they started and as they put the gates in place, then enemies to the Jewish people rose up and challenged what they were doing and went to the king of the Persian Empire, the man that Nehemiah serves. And they said, listen, you're letting this city be rebuilt, and that's bad news for you, because this has been a city that has rebelled before against kings. You look at the history, you look at the records. Artaxerxes did, and Artaxerxes said, listen, stop the building of the walls immediately so that I don't suffer loss. You can read about it in Ezra chapter 4 and 5. So they stopped the building of the walls, they pushed the walls over, they burned the gates, and now Nehemiah hears that all the work that he had heard was happening on the walls is all in disrepair. And Nehemiah is absolutely heartbroken. He is devastated. He is looking at that situation, and he's saying, that's not how it should be. There's some of you today, and you're in a situation, and when you look at it honestly, you know it's not how it should be. You know that situation is not in alignment with God's will. And you feel a little bit powerless to do anything about it. But let me just say, the one thing you can do is begin to fast and pray and watch what God will do in response. He gets the word, and he says, I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now, we won't take time to look at it, but if you look in those verses, the opening verses, it's the month of Kislev, so that's the end of November, 1st of December. And then when you come to chapter 2 and verse 1, when he goes to talk to the king, he begins to fast and pray. By then, it's in March or April. It's the month of Nisan. And what he does is he spends time fasting and praying for 4 months. Because he's going to go to the king, he's going to ask him to reverse his decision, he's going to ask him to send Nehemiah, to send him to rebuild the wall, so he's going to lose a trusted advisor, and he's going to ask him to pay for it all. And if the king doesn't like his idea, the king's going to cut off his head. Look at it in verse 11. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He's been fasting and praying for 4 months to have the most powerful man in the world change his mind and pay for the construction of a city he had determined should never be rebuilt. And Nehemiah knows it's a dangerous situation. But you know, the writer of Proverbs says this, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it like a water course wherever he will. You can pray and fast and see God do powerful things. I remember when we were up in Kansas City and we had the opportunity to buy a piece of ground. And we had about 30 people, and it was on a really tight time constraint. I had to have money by a certain time. And so I when I looked at our church, I knew we didn't have the money we needed to come up with $100,000. And we needed to come up with $100,000 in like 3 weeks. So what I did was I began to fast and pray that God would help us. And there was a major contractor in the Kansas City area who I knew was a believer. I had never heard of him giving away large sums of money, but I knew he was a believer. I had never met him. And so I called his office and I asked if I could set up a breakfast appointment with him. So I fasted for... It was 12 days that I'd fasted on the morning that I went to have breakfast with him. And I fasted, and he met me at this restaurant, and we sat down, we exchanged, you know, some pleasantries. And then he said, well, John, what can I do for you? I said, well, I've planted a church, and we're needing to buy some ground, and I would like you to give me $100,000. And he just kind of was taken back, which you can understand. And he said, and you're not you're not embarrassed to ask me that? And I said, well, I don't think it embarrasses anybody to ask him for $100,000. I think that's a compliment. And he laughed. We talked about it a little bit. Here's what he said. He said, don't you think the people you're leading ought to do something? I think they should. I agreed. He said, well, tell you what. You go this Sunday, you ask them to raise as much as they can, and whatever they don't raise, you call me that afternoon, I'll write you a check for the balance. And he did. I'm just telling you, fasting. Fasting can give you favor with people you've never met. Fasting can give you favor with people who don't know anything about you. You can secure favor through fasting. Second, fasting can bring healing. You know, it's not going to hurt most of us to go without a meal now and then. Now, obviously, you should consult with your doctor. The fact of the matter is, the University of Indiana did a study on fasting, and they found that the benefits are manifold, that it reduces cholesterol, it reduces blood pressure, and it resolves or significantly reduces arthritic pain. Part of that is just simply from all the sugar and the preservatives we eat. The average American eats 4 pounds of preservatives a year in our food. Fasting has a way of detoxing the body and bringing about a healthy resolution. Listen to this in Isaiah 58, a chapter on fasting. In verse 8, it says this, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. You know what? I believe this, that if you need God to heal you, that this is a great time to draw close to Him and to fast and to call on His name and to seek Him for His healing power. The third thing that fasting does, fasting prepares us for new seasons of ministry. You know, that's one of the reasons why we're fasting right now as a church. We're getting ready to go from a church with 2 campuses to a church of 3 campuses. That's going to change a lot of things. We need God to help us. We're going up in a part of the city that is new in terms of James River's ministry. We need God to help us. We're starting a preschool academy for low-income families. It's going to take, over the course of doing that, a huge amount of money. We need God to help us. We need God to give us favor with churches and with families who are going to be a part of that. We need God to go before us. We're getting ready to go on God TV. We've never done that before. The Lord has opened a very unique and wonderful door. We need God to help us. I don't want to do anything God is not in, and I don't want to try to do anything on my own. We need God's help. We're getting ready to do back-to-back Design for Life conferences. We need God to help us. We've never done that before. We're entertaining, helping churches establish a DFL conference. If you're going to pick up what we do here and you're going to move it to Vienna, you're going to move it to Barcelona, we need God to help us. We need God's help. It's a new season. It's a new time. And there's some of you. You're entering a new season. It might be a new school. You're at a transition as you're headed into a new time in your educational pursuits. It might be a career change. It might be a move that you're looking at. It might be a decision on whether to get married or what to do on a situation like that. You need to fast. If you look in the Bible, you'll see that Moses fasted before God gave him the law. Jesus fasted in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. Paul fasted, he and Barnabas, before they began their missionary ministry that brought the gospel to Europe. It started with a fast. In Acts chapter 13, we read this in verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. It started with a fast. Listen, I'm just telling you, when you fast, powerful things will happen in your life. And you may not see the answer the day you're fasting or the day you stop fasting, but it's impossible to fast without seeing God do something amazing in your life. Fasting is great for a new season of ministry. It's the fourth thing that fasting does. Fasting empowers us and gives us a greater awareness of God's presence. You know what? You begin to seek God, and here's the way it works. You're going through the Daniel fast, and honestly, I think for me, and it's different for everybody, but one of the things is you constantly feel hungry. I mean, at least I do. I never feel full. And then I'm a peanut M&M guy. You know, my mother-in-law, she said, "Do you really have peanut M&Ms in your desk?" And I pulled out 3 5-pound bags. She's like, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Yeah." And one of them's open, so this is double discipline. I mean, I am not touching any of them. But you know, you're going through your day, you're thinking, "Man, I'm hungry," or you're thinking, "Man, I'd like this," or "I'd like that." And immediately what that does is that moves your heart to call on God and to say, "God, I'm not having that, because what I need from you is I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this." And you know what? Yesterday afternoon, I was just studying, and as I was studying, you know, just the presence of the Lord was there in a very unique and a very wonderful way. It's something that happens anytime you and I fast, that God's going to draw close to us because we're drawing close to Him. That God's going to empower us. He's going to set His hand on us. I find something very interesting in Luke's gospel. He opens the story of Jesus' temptation. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, so He's just been baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the desert. So He's full of the Spirit. You say, well, if He's full of the Spirit, then what else does He need? But watch this. After the fast, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And you know what? From that point on, miracles start happening. There's no miracles before then that we see Jesus working, but His ministry is launched, and suddenly now not only is the Spirit of God living in Him, but the Spirit of God is empowering Him to a whole new level, and it's absolutely mind-boggling, breathtaking what Jesus does in the power of the Spirit. That's what fasting does. And it gives us an awareness of His presence. In Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 8, I love this. "Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." Now watch this. "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and He will say, 'Here I am.'" So you want to see God in your situation? I just want to encourage you to fast and pray. You say, "Man, I just don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. I've prayed about this." Some of you have stopped praying about things that are God's will because it hasn't happened. You assumed it wasn't going to happen, and you've moved on, and you're just making do, and you're just living with a situation that is not God's will. And what you need to do is you need to pick up that burden again. You need to take that before the Lord. You need to do it with fasting and prayer, and you will see God answer you in a way you cannot believe sitting here today. I'm just telling you, it's true. Try it. Fasting will bring you into the presence of God and His power in a whole new way. Let me give you one more insight into fasting. It helps us discern God's will and break Satan's grip. Some of you, you're getting ready to make a decision. You don't know what to do. You could go here, you could go there. You're not sure which is the right way. Fasting is a great thing to do at a point of decision. Fasting is a way to hear from God, to hear God's voice, to sense God's direction, to have God open doors ahead of your decision so that your decision suddenly becomes very obvious, even if it wasn't what you were originally thinking you were going to do. I've had that happen over and over again where I knew I needed to make a decision and I was going to go one way, but after a season of fasting and prayer, all of a sudden, circumstances coincidentally changed in a way that made the decision obvious and different from what I was going to do. And it was all a result of fasting and seeking God. I'm telling you, when you seek God, you're going to see God do absolutely amazing things. He's going to speak to you. He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. He's going to show you his path. Well, here we read in Daniel chapter 10, and we come to Daniel, the person whose name our fast is modeled after. And in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its meaning was true, and it concerned a great war. It's actually a war that spanned from Daniel's time all the way to our own and beyond, to the time of Antichrist, to the time of Armageddon. He says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. And on the 24th day of the first month, so what I want you to notice is, here's Daniel. He gets a vision. He doesn't understand it. He knows he needs to understand it. It's one of four great visions that God gives him. How's he going to understand it? He says, I'm going to fast. He fasts for 3 weeks. And at the end of 3 weeks, apparently nothing's happened. During the fast, there was nothing happening that he could see. As we're going to see in a moment, just the fact he couldn't see something happen didn't mean something wasn't happening. Just because he didn't sense God answering didn't mean God wasn't answering. He finishes his fast, and now on the 24th day of the first month, so now 3 days after his fast is over, all of a sudden, Daniel has a heavenly vision that is amazing. Here's Daniel, he is fasting. He's fasting in the first month. He's fasting during the time of Passover. So it'd be because of the Feast of Unleavened Bread that follows Passover, it'd be a time of great celebration, a time of joy. And so it'd be like you and I fasting during Christmas. Not easy. He's probably at this time 85 years old. So there's never a time you say, well, I fasted when I was younger, but now I don't fast anymore. No, he's fasting. And when he fasts, on the 3 days after the fast, something amazing happens. The Lord Jesus appears to him. Look at it. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river Tigris. Go ahead and give me verse 5 there. And I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. That's Jesus. You can compare that with Revelation chapter 1 and the similarity tells you who it is when Jesus appears to John in Revelation. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. You know why he's the only one who sees the vision? Because he's the only one fasting. See, when you and I fast, we're going to see things nobody else sees. Not because they're not there, but because through fasting, our eyes are open spiritually to understand what just the regular human experience would miss. He says, I was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it. Such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale. I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. So he hears this voice like many waters and like thunder, and he sees this person with face glowing and brilliant and bright. And just like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, he hits the deck. He faints. He passes out, and then what happens is an angel comes and ministers to him and gives him strength, and a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, can I just tell you that when you set your heart on seeking God, God sees it. Heaven esteems it. Heaven takes note, because the eyes of the Lord, they range to and fro throughout the earth, seeking to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to him. You go on that fast, you're doing that. God says, listen, I'm going to help him. I'm going to help her. He says, listen, Daniel, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for now I've been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Now watch this. Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Did you catch that? The first day. How many days later is it? It's 24 days later. From the first day, you say today, you go home today and you say, you know what? I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to call on God. You start doing that. That very moment, heaven hears your voice. That very moment, heaven is aware of your need. That very moment, heaven begins to work for an answer. Think of this. And I've come in response. He said, I came right away. You say, well, what happened? What's with the delay? Watch this. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. You say, what's that talking about? Well, many scholars speculate that just as there are ranks of angels, you know, you got archangels and you got seraphim and you got cherubim, and they administrate, they carry out God's plan, that many of the angels are over geographic regions. And you have Paul kind of alluding to this in Ephesians chapter 6, where he talks about principalities and powers and rulers in the heavenly places. So what you have is you have a demonic being who's over the Persian kingdom. And that's the kingdom where Daniel is living at this time. And so this great, powerful demon, God dispatches an angel to reveal to Daniel the answer, but a demonic being intercepts that angel, and there's a battle for 21 days. Wouldn't you love to see what that was like? I mean, to watch that kind of fight and to see that kind of power and to see that wrestling. So I'm just telling you, there's a spiritual warfare. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There's a spiritual reality that rests over your life, your circumstances, your situation, your home. Whether you choose to acknowledge it or not, it's there. And in fasting, what you're saying is, I understand that the solution to my situation is not just purely physical, it is spiritual, and that the spiritual realities are the greater realities. When things are right in the spiritual plane, it's going to immediately impact the physical plane, right? Everybody with me on that? He says, then Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael's like an archangel. Here's how powerful Michael is. When Moses dies in the book of Jude, Satan wants Moses' body, and Michael stands up to Satan. I mean, like, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? He is a powerful, powerful angel. He says, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Listen, I can't force you to fast. It wouldn't be good for me to do it. Because fasting has to come from the want to inside of you. It has to come from you saying, I want God to do something that is outside of the ordinary. I want him to do something extraordinary. And I'm not suggesting to you that fasting is the end all be all. I'm just saying from my experience and from the testimony of the Word of God, fasting is something that introduces us to the power of God in a way few things can. And some of you have never considered it, and some of you, when you saw us promoting it and talking about it, it doesn't mean you just haven't had the experience, because anybody who's experienced it says, hey, I think I'm in, I'm on, I got to be a part of this. But some of you, maybe for whatever reason, said, I'm a schedule, it's hard, I don't feel like it, or I don't know what all that's about. That's fine, that's what they do on Wednesday night. But I'm just telling you, this is very, very significant. It's significant for this church. I wouldn't dare to try any of what we're doing this fall if the church didn't fast and pray. I just would be out. I'd be like, man, don't want to do it. Because I just know fasting does some things that nothing else will do. And along the way, there are things that Debbie and I are personally asking God to do. And we just believe that, we just know from personal experience that God works when you and I draw close to Him. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. That's what He says. Fasting is a way to say, listen, I'm in this. I'm invested in this. I want to encourage you to consider fasting and praying. You can get one of the little cards that we have out at the information desk. It's got the needs on the back. And if you just even take one need a day and pray for it along with your needs, it'll make a huge, huge difference. And on the front, there's some places you can go online and check. We've got a cookbook to help you. Kristen Fala, Justin and Kristen. Justin's one of our board members, but Kristen and his wife wrote a Daniel Fast cookbook that became a bestseller. We've got it available for you. But I just want to encourage you to do this and to watch what God will do in your life, because fasting makes a difference.